like on zip lines and on rope courses. But what Dylan is trying to do, he's trying to provide as much income into the camp as he possibly can so that they don't have to rely totally and completely on donations. I told you that the camp is located on 54 acres right off the interstate, didn't I? They have about 3 signs right now on the interstate that they rent out to various companies and others, and that's part of their revenue stream. Another thing they want to begin to do is to rent out the camp to various groups and churches. Men's days, ladies' days, youth days out there. And sometimes groups will come out and there'll be 200, 300 individuals. Well, if they have a huge dining hall, they'll be able to house all those individuals out there on camp, can't they? And also, he's trying to promote the camp by means of the ropes course. You'd be amazed how many companies today will take their employees and their managers out to a ropes course in order to learn various principles about overseeing others, about managing others, about managing your emotions, about developing certain qualities and characteristics that are needed in order to become good leaders in various organizations. So that's where Dylan is wanting to take the camp so that they can provide much of their own income rather than relying on just total donations. One other question. This is my question. Okay? See, every now and then I just get to put one in. Okay? And my question is this. Can you tell us some things about each one bring one day that will help us get excited and make it a success? How many in here have heard of each one bring one day? Yeah, about half. That's what I figured. That's what I was worried about. I go, oh, bet they don't even know about it. We had one last year. We've had one in years prior, but we didn't call it each one bring one. We called it bring a friend day. I don't know why we changed it to each one bring one. But folks, that day is going to happen 1 month from today. May 1st. 2022. It's a Sunday, and in our minds, here's what we want everybody to do. We want each person, each member to do what? Bring one. Each one, bring one. Now we say that, and sometimes churches say, ah, each one bring one. I'm going to eat that day. Okay. Got to cook. Ugh. Folks, don't get like that. We got to get excited about these things, don't we? So how do we get excited about it? Well, first of all, this, folks, the reality is this. Every Sunday ought to bring each one bring one day, shouldn't it? Why don't we just choose one Sunday to say, well, I think I'll invite somebody that day. You got 52 Sundays. We ought to be inviting somebody every Sunday, shouldn't we? Don't you come in contact with somebody you can invite? If you don't, I got a couple of convenience stores I can take you to. I'll go with you to Walmart. There's somebody somewhere we can invite, can't we? Folks, Jesus came to do what? Seek and save the lost, didn't he? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he has commissioned us to be instruments, to go into the world and preach the precious gospel that will save lost souls. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. God wants every one of us to be fruit bearers. And He doesn't want just a little fruit. He wants us to bear what? Much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now here's some brief facts about a special Sunday where we invite individuals to come. Did you know that churches that have special days, if they focus on them, if they carry them out the way they need to carry them out, if they're focused and excited about the day most of the time, they will increase in their attendance 2, 3, 4, 5 people from that point on, the rest of the year. Isn't that something? just because you invited a few people. But secondly, if each one of us would invite 5 or 10 people to be with us. Let's assume at the Oceanside congregation there are 50 adults who can invite others. Folks, if 50 invite 5, that's 250 invitations, isn't it? You got 5 people who live around you. Sometimes we got a neighbor right beside us, got a husband, a wife, and 3. There's 5 right there. One house. All you got to do is walk over and knock on the door, take a flyer. Hey guys, guess what? We got an each one bring one day, and I want to bring you. I'll even come pick you up if I have to. We're even going to feed you that day. I want you to go with me. You know what will happen? A lot of times a neighbor will come. You want to know why? They've just been waiting for you to invite them. Isn't that something? You got co-workers? Sure, we got co-workers. Invite a few co-workers to come with you. What if each one of us invite 10 people instead of 5? That's 500 invitations. 500. That's a lot of inviting, isn't it? Try to go out and put 500 circulars on doors. That'll take you a little while. 2 or 3 phone calls, a couple of visits to your neighbors, 10 people, easy. Now think about this. Out of those 500 that we invite, what if only 5% of those invited come? That is 25 people that would be here in our assembly. Isn't that something? Folks, if we normally have 60 people, that means that day we're going to have what? 85, maybe 90 people that are here. I don't know about you. That's kind of exciting. When we had our gospel meeting and we had 83 that morning with Brother Garland here, this building seemed like it was pretty full, didn't it? Now here's the last fact. Folks, if you and I are not excited about Oceanside, guess what? You're not going to get anybody else excited. Church is dull. It's boring. It's the same old thing. It's just a little church. Don't go out and tell anybody that. I don't want you working for Oceanside. You just sit at your house and come to service and act like you're happy. Folks, we got to get excited about the Lord's work, don't we? We have an each one bring one day. We want you to come. We want you to be a part of our service. We want you to see what we do. We've got to get excited about the Lord's work. Isn't that what the Lord wants us to do? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 14. Folks, the Lord wants us fervent in His work. Those who reject God reject all the evidences that God has provided for us to believe in Him. They reject the creation. They reject the beauty of our bodies and how intricately they're designed and how they work. They reject that little thing called a bombardier beetle, which is unbelievable in its structure and the way it's been put together. They reject the concept of man's DNA. On and on the list goes. All the evidence God has given us to believe in Him, the atheist, the agnostic, the infidel, the humanist, the evolutionist, reject and say there is no God. And what do? They make foolish arguments about the Sumerians, inventing glue before you and I think the earth was created. That's the kind of arguments they make. Arguments that if you and I go do a little investigation, guess what? Those arguments will fall short, won't they? Folks, secondly, our responsibility is to do everything we can do to save all lost souls. Even that atheist and even that agnostic and that infidel, that's our responsibility. Now note this, the earlier we start, the more likely you and I are going to reach them. And that's why we have places like Georgia Bible Camp to send our kids. They come around another 50, 60, 70, 100 kids that are like them. They get taught the gospel, and some of them even obey the gospel while they're out there. We put on each one bring one days in order for us to have an opportunity to develop the courage to invite someone who's not a Christian to this building. And folks, there are some benefits to that. Non-Christians who come to that day meet us, the people of God. I don't know about you, but we're pretty good folk, aren't we? We're just human beings. When they finally meet us, guess what? They go, wow, those are just people like I am. Not only do they do that, but these non-Christians enter into our building and they get to see what we do. We got four walls, don't we, that hide us from the world. The world has no clue what we're doing in here. Oh, they kind of do. I've often thought we need to move our worship services outside a couple of times a year. Just put it up on the grass and let everybody in the neighborhood hear us and see what we're doing. Wake them up. And thirdly, folks, non-members, when they're here that day, are going to hear a message from the powerful Word of the living God, aren't they? Folks, that looks just like a book. But somehow, some way, God's put power in this book to change the hearts of lost men and lost women, hasn't He? If we trust that, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. The Bible tells us that the Word of God, the gospel, is God's power to save. Romans 1 verse 16. James says in James 1 that the Word of God is able to save our souls. That little word able is dunamis, the same one found in Romans 1 verse 16. It has the power to save those that are lost. Folks, some individuals who are lost have been converted on one sermon. Did you know that? One lesson. Who knows? And so we set aside days that will encourage us to invite people to come. Why? Because that's our mission, to save those who are lost. Maybe you're here today and you fall into that category. My friend, there's no reason to leave like that. Just think. You come to the church building on Sunday just as lost as you can be, and you leave saved. And a child of the living God. Isn't that a blessing? If you believe in the Christ as God's Son, if you're willing to die to that old way of living, repenting of sins, if you'll confess His name and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, the Bible says you will arise a new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 6 verse 4, having all your sins washed away, Acts 22, verse 16, and having been added by the Lord to His church, Acts 2, verse 47. Dear Christian, what about you? Can you honestly say your life is a life full of faith, a life full of enthusiasm and excitement for the cause of Christ, a life that puts the kingdom of God and His righteousness first and foremost above all things? Maybe we need to repent and ask God to forgive us. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?